VSiN Weekend Morning Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour number two of the VSiN Weekend Morning Line. I'm Tim Murray, live from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. Busy day ahead as we continue to get you ready for the Stanley Cup Final, which will start on Wednesday night in Edmonton, as well as the NBA Finals, which will start on Thursday night. Pacers, a 125-108 win last night over comes home, as well as the Pacers take care of business both first half and full game. And as I said yesterday on the show, I was a little worried that I was getting too cute, and it almost bit me because that first half wasn't all that easy ultimately for the Pacers to get home, and it was a lot easier for them to get home for the full game as they win and cover 125-108, setting us up for the NBA Finals with a pretty lopsided series spread, as we talked about just a moment ago with Thomas Gable. How about this? I want to pass this across to you. So yesterday, the St. Louis Cardinals beat the Texas Rangers 2-0, and this is something that a number of us here at the network like to take a look at. I know Gil always takes a look at these most wins in a particular month bets. There's some rather hefty paydays out there. And last, I believe it was May, I think it was, no, it was June, JVT and I, when we were doing primetime together, JVT did the homework and we both went in on, I think it was the Astros at +550, and they ultimately brought it home. Chris Bennett over at Circa just posted this. The Cardinals, who won yesterday 2-0 over the Rangers, wrap up the month 19-8. And it's worth noting whatever shop you played it at and what their tiebreakers are. And as Chris Bennett pointed out there on Twitter, Cardinals win the tiebreaker over the Tigers and Phillies with fewer losses in May. We, Circa, closed 180-1. On the Cardinals to have the most wins in the month of May. So anyone out there cashing that ticket, kudos to you. 180-1 as the Cardinals, due to the tiebreaker at Circa, which is the least amount of losses, gets it home. So well done, anyone out there who cashed that ticket, as the Cardinals finish a 19-8 month of May. The Phillies went 19-9. The Tigers go 19-9 as well. And how about this yesterday, though? You think about it. If you had the Tigers to have the most wins in the month of May, you liked your chances, didn't you, going into yesterday? 19-8, Tarek Skubal on the hill, and Skubal went out and shoved 7 scoreless innings. The Royals won 1-0. Is that a bad beat? If you had the Detroit Tigers for the most wins in the month of May, which was +1175, they were 19-8 going into yesterday. Skubal on the hill. He throws 7 scoreless innings, and they lost 1-0. And they end up 19-9. And due to tiebreakers, as mentioned from Chris Bennett, the Cardinals get the victory for the most wins in the month of May because of fewer losses. Oof, that is that might be a tough pill to swallow, so to speak, there for anyone who had the Tigers to have the most wins in the month of May going into the finale of the month with Skubal on the hill. And he goes out and is absolute shoving, but does not get the victory. They do not get the victory, I should say. But that was, he has been on some sort of run here. And a quick look at the Cy Young odds. Skubal now out to a -$1.50 favorite to win the AL Cy Young. Paul Skeens, by the way, if you're wondering, +125. Second in those odds is Yamamoto, as he takes the hill here this evening for Sunday Night Baseball. Dodgers looking to sweep the New York Yankees. And for the first time in this series, the Dodgers will be a favorite. Remember, closed as a dog in game one, came back and won 8-5, thanks in large part to Shohei Ohtani and his 2 home runs. And then yesterday, everybody, if you want to give them credit, I know Max Muncy had a big 3-run bomb, but they won by a final yesterday of 18-2. So back at it tonight, Dodger Stadium, Sunday Night Baseball, Yamamoto on the hill. He is +310 to win NL Cy Young, and the Dodgers a -$1.65 favorite to try to complete the sweep of the New York Yankees. We're going to talk more college baseball coming up bottom of the hour. Aaron Moore, who's been doing some write-ups for us, our professor, He's going to join us at the bottom of the hour. It has been a interesting, to say the least, start to the NCAA tournament as we saw number one, number two, number seven, and number 11 seeds lose yesterday. And how about this number real quickly? The ACC, you know, we had last week and we heard from the SEC plenty about just means more and how they want to structure the college football playoff. Well, the ACC, now it's early, but they're flexing a little bit. The ACC so far in the NCAA tournament, 14-4 and 5-0. Straight up against the SEC, five teams, as pointed out here by Brian Ives, five teams have already advanced to the regional finals, and no teams have been eliminated from the ACC. Wake Forest, yesterday I was watching that one walking out of the studio, ultimately held on to beat Miami of Ohio 14-13. But yes, plenty of college baseball to get to later on today. Those games start around noon Eastern. Aaron Moore will jump on the program coming up bottom of the hour, and make sure to keep tuned to VSiN.com for all of the best bets out there for all of the contests today in college baseball. But of course, let's focus on the NBA Finals as we've got Oklahoma City and Indiana. And this is one of the many reasons I love working here, because we don't have to deal with the nonsense of, is this entertaining and what's next for the Knicks? We've got a series and we're going to handicap it. And I'm looking forward to this series. And I get it. We looked at some of the numbers earlier on in the show. From a historical standpoint, doesn't look like the Pacers have much of a shot. Do I think they win this series? No, I do not. But how am I going to bet it? Am I going to lay $7? No. Am I contemplating the Thunder on a series price at minus 120? Here at Circa, minus two and a half games is minus 120. I am. However, I'll say this. The Pacers are a team that have certainly played their hand, so to speak, if you want to look at it that way. The way that this team has gone into their respective series, they were a favorite, rightfully so, against Milwaukee, took care of business in five games. They were a pretty significant underdog against Cleveland. Cleveland was a bit banged up, but let's be honest, the better team was the Indiana Pacers, and then the Pacers and Knicks series was close from a series price standpoint, but ultimately the Pacers were a slight dog and they take care of business in six games. They obviously have the epic comeback in game one, the shot that will be remembered maybe forever in Indianapolis with the high bounce off the back rim, goes through, forces overtime, the neck choke there from Tyrese Halliburton, but they were the better team. But now they head against the Oklahoma City Thunder, and from an ATS standpoint, the Oklahoma City Thunder, best team in the NBA this year. Have they struggled on the road from a covering standpoint? Absolutely. And that is kind of one of the more perplexing things when it comes to OKC throughout this postseason run is, what can we expect from OKC on the road in Indiana in games 3 and 4? And as we talked to Zach Cohen, he said, yeah, I think I might take a little shot, this is Zach's words, on over 5.5 games, which is plus money out there, over 5.5 games in the series. Because I would imagine of two things, the way the Pacers have played so far this year and in this postseason, and also the fact that Oklahoma City has struggled mightily, at least from a covering standpoint, on the road. Chet Holmgren of the Oklahoma City Thunder played exceptionally well in that closeout game, game 5 on Wednesday night. Now they have 8 days to prep for the Indiana Pacers. Let's hear from Chet Holmgren getting ready for the NBA Finals.
Everybody was guaranteed to win, you know, it'd be a participation trophy instead of a Larry O'Brien, you know, so you have to kind of take it in and understand what you've accomplished to that point. But then kind of the next day you have to start turning the page, you know, get rid of the emotions and start focusing on preparation and what you have to do to, you know, conquer the next step. And that's where we're at.
The Oklahoma City, when you look at them, this postseason, needed 7 games, of course, to dispose of the Denver Nuggets. Took care of business in 5 against Minnesota. And now here they are, enormous favorites to win the NBA Finals. I want to revisit some of the numbers that we passed across from a historical standpoint as we head into this particular series where it's sitting at minus 700. Since 1969, this according to Sports Odds History, there have been 16 NBA finals where the series underdog was plus 250 or higher. So 1969, we've had 16 instances in the NBA finals history where we've seen an underdog of plus 250 or higher. Only the Detroit Pistons in 2004 were a team to pull off that upset. The other 15 who were the favorite, won in six games or less. So the series price certainly not on their side when it comes to the Indiana Pacers. Evan Abrams has some good nuggets over on the Action Network. And when you look at the precedent for the Indiana Pacers, once again, history not necessarily on their side. After beating both the Cavaliers and Knicks as series underdogs to get to the finals, the Pacers have now joined an exclusive club of teams to win series as an underdog in the conference semifinals and finals. That would be the 2024 Mavericks a year ago, 23 Heat, remember the 8 seed, the magical Jimmy Butler, the 2020 Heat, the 2010 Celtics, the 99 Knicks, and the 95 Rockets. The last three that have happened in 24, 23, and 20 all got bounced in the NBA Finals. Now, the 2010 Celtics ultimately did win the finals back in 2010. 2010? Yeah, double check that. They won the title in 2008, right? And the Lakers won in 09 and 2010. All right, more on the NBA Finals, certainly as the show goes on. But it's not just the hardwood. It's the ice as well. The Stanley Cup Final, Edmonton and Florida, much shorter series price. How do we attack it? Todd Furman joins us next right here on VSiN.
You're tuned in to the VSiN Weekend Morning Line.
Yes, indeed. We keep it rolling here on VSiN on this Sunday morning. We're live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. The final round of the Memorial will start in a couple of hours. Shocker, Scottie Scheffler is your favorite. And let's check the old odds board. Minus 315 to win Jack's tournament. Minus 315 for Scottie Scheffler. Plus 250 if you want to fade Scottie, which hasn't really been a profitable endeavor for most folks out there. But Scottie Scheffler, your favorite heading into the final round. And that round will start in just a couple of hours. Lots of college baseball today. Aaron Moore going to help us handicap it coming up in less than 15 minutes. But the Stanley Cup Final will start on Wednesday night. And we did see a little bit of movement in the odds today towards the Edmonton Oilers. And let's see if our next guest agrees with said odds move. You can catch him on CBS Sports as well as the Bet the Board podcast during the fall. It is our friend Todd Furman who joins us courtesy of our progressive guest line. And Mr. Furman, Oilers Panthers part two. And we got the Oilers as now a minus 129 favorite here at Circa. So do you agree with the movement we saw today? A couple of shops here in town have moved the Oilers to a more significant favorite. I mean, nothing compared to Oklahoma City, of course, but what do you make of this move today towards the Oilers?
It's one that I actually agree with. I think the number did come out a touch short at right around to pick them, knowing that the Oilers were going to have home ice advantage this year, unlike last season. And when you look at the Oilers, the way they're currently constructed, of course, the absence of Zach Hyman plays a large role. But I really like the depth. I think there's a better team right now. And while this may not be the most popular opinion, I think they played a more difficult road to get to this point in the season. While the Florida Panthers were pushed to the brink by the Toronto Maple Leafs, relatively speaking, that, in my opinion, is the only team that had the kind of scoring depth that faced the Panthers that they're going to encounter against an Oilers team who's getting production up and down their lineup so far this postseason.
You know, Todd, you're a former goalie, so you could speak to this very well. Sergei Bobrovsky and Stuart Skinner looked terrible right out of the chute. He gets benched for Cal Pickard. Then he gets thrown back in due to injury. How would you handicap the goalies in this Stanley Cup final?
Even with Stuart Skinner's current form being significantly better now than what it was in those first couple games against the Kings, you have to give a decided edge to Sergei Bobrovsky, given the pedigree that we have seen from him and the fact that he is more than capable of stealing a game at a moment's notice. Now, that all being factored in, you have to look at the way that Skinner is getting a little bit more structure and support in front of him. They're not asking him to go out there and steal games. They're kind of simplifying the approach and basically telling Stuart Skinner, make one more save than your opposing goaltending counterpart, and it's going to put the Oilers in a tremendous spot. You look at some of these underlying metrics from a goal saved above expected that have trended up, a save percentage that was ghastly at sub 890 for an extended period this postseason, and now the numbers much more consistent with where they need to be if he's going to ultimately become a Stanley Cup winning netminder. And the thing that I know we'll talk about the deeper we get into the series, it seems that Stuart Skinner seems to find another gear in games 4, 5, 6, and 7. So if he can be at least average or slightly above in game 1 and game 2 in Edmonton, I think it gives them an excellent opportunity to grab control playing on home ice.
We're talking once again to Todd Furman. You can catch his analysis on CBS Sports HQ all throughout the Stanley Cup final run. And you could also follow him on social media at Todd Furman. Todd, when you look at Connor McDavid and what he's, you know, meant to the sport, I hate kind of talking this way in the sense of we're a gambling network and people don't care about, you know, what it means long term and all of that stuff. But how important is this for McDavid and Draisaitl to finally hoist that Stanley Cup and give this franchise their first Stanley Cup since 1990?
I think it's incredibly important. I know it's the one thing that always followed Dan Marino around throughout his career as a quarterback for the Miami Dolphins. You go through the pantheon of NHL greats and the Wayne Gretzky's, even the Alexander Ovechkin, Sidney Crosby, they all have at least one Stanley Cup on their resume, if not more. And I think Connor McDavid feels the weight of the world in trying to be the face, not just of this illustrious franchise, but the league as well. And while last year, sure, he took home the Conn Smythe as the most valuable player in the postseason, despite them coming up short in game 7, it's not nearly the same as getting your name engraved in the Stanley Cup. And we got a glimpse of the emotional release from Connor McDavid when they won the Four Nations with his game-winning goal in overtime against Team USA. And I think this would be the next step to try and help him raise his overall profile. No one is going to question what he's capable of doing on ice. Nobody is going to ask about him being a generational talent and the best that we may have ever seen in the game thus far. But I think getting his name on that cup is the inevitable next step. Does it happen this year, or do they have to go back to square one? But for those folks who watched the Face Off documentary on Amazon, they saw that raw emotion from number 97 last year when they came up short. And it feels like getting another kick at the can here, they're not going to let that opportunity slip through their fingers. But I still wouldn't be running to bet McDavid at even money to take home that Conn Smythe trophy.
Well, and that was going to be my question, and I'm glad you kind of hinted at it here, Todd Furman joining us, because, you know, the discussion 2 years ago was, if you like the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl, go ahead and bet Patrick Mahomes, whatever your unit size is, maybe put a piece on that, because you're going to get slightly better odds, and more often than not, if the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, it's going to be Patrick Mahomes who's going to win Super Bowl MVP, and that came to fruition, right? So if you like the Oilers and you're like, damn, I missed out on the number, I don't really want to lay minus 120, would you be getting too cute taking McDavid at plus 110? Is there not that obvious correlation like it is for quarterback of Super Bowl winning team to what McDavid has done for the Oilers and the Conn Smythe?
You know, definitely different in that regard. So I would feel much more comfortable if you wanted to have some exposure to the Oilers, betting them to win the series more so than backing Connor McDavid, because there is a realistic path where Leon Draisaitl ends up scoring 5, 6, 7 goals in the series. McDavid facilitates a little bit of that, and Draisaitl ends up getting the Conn Smythe as Connor McDavid won it last year. And for a little while, there was a thought process that Stuart Skinner could be the guy that came from off the pace. I'm not sure I'm running to the window now to bet him at 80-1. I think realistically, if Skinner was to steal the hardware, he'd probably need to have 3 shutouts in the Oilers' 4 victories to be able to make that happen. But if you like the Oilers here, I don't think you're stealing anything trying to save a few pennies on the dollar backing McDavid like Mahomes in the Super Bowl, because Leon Draisaitl, a very realistic candidate. And quite frankly, I'd probably feel more intrigued to back Draisaitl at 8.5 or 9-1, which is basically the market consensus number, and back the Oilers to win the cup more so than tying up my money in McDavid at plus $1.10 or even money, which I kind of see is what most books are offering, at least as we sit here on Sunday morning.
Historically speaking, Todd, is there a precedent of what to expect in game one from a total standpoint? We know things tighten up as series goes on. And, you know, I like to mess around with those first period unders late in series. Oh, this is going to be tight. My very novice hockey mind. But when you look at this game one, 6 slightly juiced over at some shops. DraftKings is actually 6.5 juiced under. Any feel right now on this total and what to expect in game one of Oilers Panthers?
You know, generally speaking, to your point, Tim, you're exactly right. Games are a little bit looser early on. The teams go through a feeling out process. And more importantly, refs are extremely liberal with their whistle. So you'll see more opportunities with the man advantage and some power plays work in those teams' favors. Now, when you look at the way that games one, game two played out last year between these two teams and Sunrise, you did get a 3-0 game right out of the gates. Teams were a little bit rusty after roughly a week layoff in terms of the Oilers, who got rid of the Dallas Stars in 6 games. And that series ended on June 2nd before puck drop on June 8th. You will have a little bit of that layoff again for those two teams, knowing that Florida was able to take care of the Carolina Hurricanes in 5 games and Edmonton took care of the Oilers in similar fashion. So I would lean over the total based on history, but as this number is juice 6, unfortunately, I don't think you're stealing anything. And for me, I'd love nothing more than a 7-6 game right out of the gates for some fireworks and have an opportunity to come in under the total in game 2 at a much more advantageous 6.5.
Todd, before we let you run, as you mentioned, you agreed with the movement here with Edmonton to move out to around a minus 120, minus 125 favorite. We've seen the Superbook get banged a little bit this morning, circa out to minus 129. Anything right now that you're looking at either from a series standpoint, game one standpoint, as we head into the Stanley Cup final?
No real strong opinion on the game one number at right around that -$1.20, -125 in Edmonton's favor. I'm kind of right in line with that particular price. I do like the Oilers for the series. Don't want to tell people to run to try and chase the worst of it, but do shop around. I think there are still some pick-ems in -15. But I honestly see a path where I think the Oilers can make relatively quick work of the Panthers, more so than the other way around. So if the Oilers get their game going and this team starts to play downhill, you can make a legitimate case that this team could be on a 10-game winning streak if it wasn't for the Leon Draisaitl own goal laying that Golden Knight series and them squandering it, you know, 2-goal lead going into the third period game one against Dallas. This Oilers team feels a little bit different, so I have no problem if folks want to get a little bit more aggressive, look to lay a 1.5 with the Oilers, and that'll get you right around +$1.90 thinking that the Oilers win this series in 6 or less.
He's Todd Furman. Always appreciate his insight. Catch him on CBS Sports HQ. Todd, appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Always a pleasure, Tim.
There he is, Todd Furman, joining us courtesy of our Progressive guest line. Hey, folks, guess what? Less than a week away from the Belmont Stakes. The final jewel of the Triple Crown is here. It is the Belmont Stakes, and there's no better time to bet the races than right now with FirstBet. New users could get a $200 sign-up bonus by just using the promo code VSIN200. Whether you're a seasoned horse player or brand new to the sport, FirstBet has the tools to elevate your game. Download the app or go to FirstBet.com/VSIN to sign up today. That's FirstBet.com/VSIN. Promo code VSIN200 for your $200 bonus. We'll talk some college baseball next.
You're tuned in to the VSIN Weekend Morning Line.
We keep it rolling here on a Sunday morning. I'm Tim Murray, live from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. Looking forward to checking in with my guy, Patrick Everson. He's going to join us in studio coming up at the top of the hour. We'll get the latest from behind the counter and all of his reporting out there from a gambling standpoint. Pierre Maguire, 1 hour from now as we continue to get you ready for the Stanley Cup final. Of course, as we all know, the Pacers win last night, 125-108. They win, they cover, over hits, and we've now got a series price of around minus 650 in favor of the Oklahoma City Thunder. More on that as the show continues. But without the NBA, without the NHL today, I think a lot of eyeballs should be on college baseball. We here at VSIN, we love us some college baseball. We'll be on site in Omaha. Mitch and Paul, Stormy, and JVT will all be there in a couple of weeks. And a gentleman who has been doing a great job getting us ready for college baseball is Aaron Moore. The professor joins us right now, courtesy of our Progressive guest line. And you and I were just talking briefly off air, and I want to bring this to earth because this is a pretty interesting angle. Because I asked you, you know, how's it going from a betting standpoint? You said it's going well, because of an in-game angle that you've been looking at, Aaron. So what have you unpacked when you look at the in-game numbers that have been out there during this regional round?
So far, Tim, during the opening round of the NCAA tournament, you got to watch the games first and foremost. I really think it's one of the things, if you're going to bet college baseball, watch them, because not everybody is watching that game. So one of the things I've had some success with so far are in-game totals. If you're watching the game and you see the in-game total change, it just seems to happen in a very volatile sense. I'm not sure if the books are following an algorithm that they use for Major League Baseball in terms of outs, guys on base, innings, all those different things that would go into an algorithm. I'm not sure if Major League Baseball's algorithm is being used by the books, but college baseball and Major League Baseball are different. So what I have noticed in game, the totals really make a big jump once one run is scored. It really alters it. And you can see who is pitching. How are those teams playing offensively in terms of how are they trying to score runs? Look at a team like Georgia. They just try to hit home runs. And obviously, there's going to be volatility to that. So watch the games. Have your apps open, as many of them as you can, and look at it. When one run is scored, that total changes a tremendous amount. And what I've been trying to do is go the opposite way and take that under.
So we talked about it yesterday off of Friday. We saw Oregon State, Ole Miss, Oregon, and Southern Miss all lose to the 4 seed in their region. And then last night, we saw a bunch of other 1 seeds. We saw Vanderbilt get knocked off. Not an enormous upset, but still a decent upset there. We saw Texas lose to UC San Antonio. Oregon got bounced 2 games. Adios to Oregon. So any overall takeaways that you've seen from the regional round in the sense of some of these bigger names getting knocked off or not completely knocked off? Aaron, Oregon's the only one eliminated so far, but struggling a little bit.
Yeah, I think Vandy struggling. That's probably one of the main storylines. But it's something I wrote about, Tim, on VSiN.com. They are the number one overall seed, deserve to be there. What they did at the end of the SEC tournament, absolutely deserve to be there. But this is a pitching-based team. They don't really hit that well, hit about 260 as a team, don't hit a lot of home runs. Everything Vandy does is because of the pitching staff, and they really have great strikeout numbers. But what does that mean, especially in the NCAA tournament where offense becomes a key? They are really vulnerable, and they lost to Louisville yesterday 3-2. And from my standpoint, it's not that they lost to Louisville. They only scored 2 runs against the Cardinals, and one of the weaknesses of Louisville going into that game is their pitching staff. So Vandy, the SEC big boys, number one seed, could only score 2 runs against Louisville. That is a concern. Now, I'll take it on the opposite end, Tim. I don't think it's getting a lot of attention, but I would say so far this tournament, the biggest win of the tournament is LSU, one of the favorites. They beat Dallas Baptist 12-0, manhandled the Patriots. Now, we look at Dallas Baptist the last few years, love that offense, and say this could be one of the teams that breaks through into Omaha, that mid-major magic, so to speak. LSU, as one of the favorites, along with Arkansas, just said, Dallas Baptist, you do not belong on the same field with us. And I think you're going to see that carry over for LSU and simultaneously Arkansas as the tournament progresses, as we get to the Super Regionals.
Aaron Moore joining us here once again, getting us ready for the action today. And also to prep us, Super Regionals are next week. Then, of course, Omaha will be on site there with a handful of shows in a couple of weeks. North Carolina, a team that, I looked at yesterday and I just, reach out, try to put my ear to the ground. And some people said, Oklahoma might be live here in this spot. And UNC, I think, put up, 6 or 7 runs in the first inning. So a great start to their regional for UNC as a host. Any takeaways here for UNC, specifically, Aaron, when you look at their draw in the next round for the Super Regional?
Yeah, as we sit here, Tim, it's going to be very hard for UNC not to make it to Omaha. Their draw in the Super Regional is the Eugene. And as you said, unfortunately, Tim, got to bring up the Ducks again for you. They're out. All right. So you have a very strong UNC team, which should move through the Chapel Hill Regional and then play whoever comes out of Eugene to go to Omaha. And you look at UNC, we talked about them before the tournament started. The odds makers said this is the best team outside of the SEC, and they have certainly showed it. They have two fantastic number one pitchers, Jake Knapp, Jason DeCaro. Those are two number ones. They have a catcher in Luke Stevenson. You're soon going to see him playing in Major League Baseball. This team is legit. And before we came on, Tim, I looked. Not a lot of books have futures boards up right now because so much could change over the next day or so. But UNC is 6-1 to win the College World Series. That's a pretty interesting number looking at it right now because they came in as the best team outside the SEC. And boy, so far they've proved that.
Aaron Moore joining us here. You'll read his write-ups over at vsin.com. Super regionals. We'll find those out later on this weekend, or actually on Monday as things start to shape out. Let's get to some plays that you like today. You mentioned Vanderbilt. It's funny when you think back to their first game, they were being no hit through six innings. Then the starter gets pulled for Wright State, Aaron, and they're able to get a couple of runs. So you're looking at right now, DraftKings has 13.5 as the total here, slightly juiced under in Vandy Wright State. What do you like here from a total standpoint?
So I'm taking the under here, 13.5, Tim, and a lot of it has to do with what I just said. Vanderbilt's pitching, fantastic, should be able to handle Wright State. The problem with Wright State on Friday was, as you said, Vanderbilt just couldn't get a hit. That was the reason Wright State was playing that game so close. And how about that coach taking out the pitcher for Wright State? Might become one of the biggest what-ifs in sports history. I'm taking the under here, 13.5, because as I said, Vanderbilt can pitch. They can't really hit. And you look at it, as the tournament progresses to Sunday, Wright State is now deep into their pitching staff. But Vanderbilt has showed it doesn't matter who's pitching. They're not really hitting. So I'll take that under 13.5.
All right, Aaron, let's go to the Tallahassee Regional. You got a better number. The market's starting to come in here on the Fighting Cowbells of Mississippi State. They take on Northeastern. Number out to around minus 160 at most shops. If you look around, you can find a minus 155. Do the Bulldogs eliminate the Huskies this afternoon?
I do, Tim, and I take Mississippi State in this game because, first off, you're getting an SEC school against the CAA champion. So right there, you've got Mississippi State with an advantage. Mississippi State already beat Northeastern 11-2 on Friday, and you look at what happened yesterday. Northeastern barely beat Bethune-Cookman. They beat them 4-3, took a home run late for that to happen. Bethune-Cookman, not a strong team. So give me the SEC over a CAA team here. And lay, I got the 145. I think you could play that north of 150.
Yeah, right now, my 155 minus 160 is where we look for that one. Let's go to the LA Regional. And this was one that I was curious about, both of these teams heading in to this regional. You saw a lot of money right before things got going on UC Irvine to win this regional. Then they got knocked off by Arizona State. So they're back taking on Arizona State for a second time. 13.5 is the total right now, juiced under at a number of spots. You like the total here in this one, Irvine and Arizona State.
I'm going under 13.5 here as well, Tim. These teams, as you said, they played on Friday. It was a 4-2 Arizona State win. So we can use that as a comparison. And then look at what happened yesterday with pitching. Irvine beat Fresno 8-3, so they really didn't have to tax their bullpen. Arizona State lost to UCLA 11-5. But here's the key point. Arizona State was down in that game early, so they kind of expected to lose. They didn't use their arms towards the end of the game. So I see you have two teams coming into today's game that are pitching-based to begin with, and I think both of their staffs are ready for this. Give me the under 13.5.
He's our professor, Aaron Moore. Always appreciate the insight, sir. We'll be reading your content over at vsin.com when we get ready for the Super Regionals.
Thanks a lot, Tim. Good luck to you.
There he is. Aaron Moore with his best bets for today, courtesy of our Progressive guest line. Hey, folks, if you want to know where that money is coming in, well, check out our betting splits over at vsin.com for both DraftKings and Circa. And you can check it out for as little as $9.99 for your first month. vsin.com/subscribe. A bad beat to a VSIN host we'll discuss next.
You're tuned in to the VSIN Weekend Morning Line.
Yes, indeed, it is the VSiN Weekend Morning Line every Saturday and Sunday here on VSiN. Join me, Tim Murray, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. Patrick Everson going to join us in studio. Always love getting Patrick's insight, one of the hardest working folks here in this city. Always getting the latest from behind the counter. So we will find out how the books fared regarding the NBA Finals as we now have the Pacers heading into that series. Worth noting this, as JB back in the our production staff pointed out, because I want to get to a positive before getting to the negative. Pauly Howard, 19-1, gave it out on Follow the Money for the Pacers to win the Eastern Conference. So a great cash for Pauly there. Really, to be honest, not really much of a sweat. I don't know when Pauly ultimately grabbed it, but man, Pacers at 19-1 to win the Eastern Conference. A great hit there as they won in 5, 5, and 6 to get to the NBA Finals. And as we noted, as pointed out by Sports Odds History, 66-1 was their preseason odds, the Pacers. That is the longest odds to head into an NBA Finals since 1985. So pretty impressive to see that. So good job by Pauly to grab the Pacers there. Then we get to the bad beat. And I mentioned this because Chris Bennett over on Twitter mentioned that due to the house rules at Circa, that the St. Louis Cardinals, with their 19-8 record, ended up winning the pool for most wins in the month of May, as they had a 19-8 month of May, and the Tigers went 19-9. Well, little did I know that our own Mitch Moss had the Detroit Tigers. As Gary Sutton pointed out here on Twitter, I believe that Mitch Moss had the Tigers for May, having the most wins, a bad beat for sure. Now, I reached out to Mitch to confirm the situation. And once again, here's how it all unfolded. The Detroit Tigers entered yesterday against the Kansas City Royals with a 19-8 record in the month of May. A win, they get 20, and they win that pool. And Mitch had bet it at 16-1, I believe, at, I want to say Caesars is where he told me. Tarik Skubal was on the hill. He throws 7 scoreless innings. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be laughing at Mitch. It's just brutal sometimes when you have these types of bets. They come down to the final day, and it plays out this way. Skubal goes 7 scoreless against the Royals, but Michael Wacha, on the flip side, throws 7 scoreless as well. And as Mitch told me via Twitter or via text, getting no hit by, in all caps, Michael Wacha for most of the game. So I believe at the shop that he betted at, it was a dead heat. So he does get his money back. But man, that is, I was curious if there were folks out there who did have the Tigers to have the most wins in the month of May. And sure enough, our own Mitch Moss did heading into that game yesterday. I don't mean to laugh. I'm sorry. That is brutal. You've got Skubal on the hill. You could not ask for more. And he goes out and shoves. It's not like he got lit up. Skubal goes out and deals, fresh off of the complete game shutout, you know, a week ago, throws 7 scoreless against the Royals, and they lose 1-0. And you don't win most wins in the month of May as they finish up 19-9. And of course, the Cardinals, they get the win yesterday and they finish up at 19-8. And here at Circa, as Chris Bennett pointed out, due to their tiebreak rules, 19-8, least losses out there. The Cardinals won the pot at 125-1. So with every victory, there's always the other side of pain out there. All right. We've been doing this here on the program, getting you ready for the start of college football. I am the host of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, which I would ask, please download, rate, and review. During the football season, of course, it's Matt Humans and I on Thursdays breaking down the games, Adam Burke and I earlier in the week. We had Wednesdays with Wes in the middle part of the week. So we had a rotation going on during the season. But during the offseason, we welcome on different voices all throughout to help us get prepared for the upcoming season. We had Brad Powers on, handicapper. We played a clip from him yesterday regarding his skepticism on North Carolina and his optimism on Alabama. I also had David Hale on the podcast this week, ESPN reporter David Hale, and he did a tier system of quarterbacks in college football this year. And we did some blind resumes here on the show last week, courtesy of his article. And one of those blind resumes we showed you was Carson Beck. And Carson Beck's numbers versus Garrett Nussmeier's numbers. Carson Beck's numbers versus his own numbers, right? And maybe we are overlooking Carson Beck a little bit after he got injured. Gunnar Stockton comes in. They win the SEC championship. And how quickly we forget those 3 weeks or so of folks telling us that Gunnar Stockton is better than Carson Beck. Then the game played out. Gunnar Stockton looked every bit the part of an unseasoned quarterback. Notre Dame's defense gets to him. They ultimately win the game there in New Orleans. Now, it is worth noting that Carson Beck, it's not like Georgia threw heaven and earth at him to keep him around. They were okay letting him go, but he ends up getting a pretty good deal, from all accounts, to go to Miami, where he will be the starting quarterback. And from all accounts, he is going to be ready to go for the start of the season and for the start of offseason workouts. So I asked David Hale about Carson Beck because I do think, as someone who owns a Clemson ticket to win the ACC, and we've talked about that here on the show, and who's someone who will be in attendance of Miami Notre Dame to start the season Labor Day weekend on that Sunday down in South Beach, where the point spread is only 2.5. It's short. Let's hear about Carson Beck and the expectations for Beck in Miami this upcoming fall.
No, I mean, look, to me, the disappointment was the rest of Georgia's offense, which was not nearly as good as it had been the year before. They had one of their worst rushing seasons in the last like 30 years at Georgia. And there's a lot of reasons for that. Trevor Etienne was hurt for a good portion of the season, but it just was not an offense that relied heavily on or could rely heavily on the running game. The receivers were a disaster for a large part. There was nobody that was the consistent threat to get open in the slot the way Ladd McConkey was. There was no obvious mismatch the way Brock Bowers had been the year before. And I pointed this out, like, go back and watch the 23 SEC championship game against Alabama. Like, the offense looked a lot in that game like it did most of last year, which is what an offense looks like when you don't have Bowers and McConkey playing at their best. So, you know, go back. I went through and adjusted Beck's numbers if you account for the significant increase in drops by his receivers and the significant decrease in the number of contested catches his receivers came down with, and adjust those back to the 2022 numbers, and all of a sudden his stat line looks the same or better in a lot of areas as it did in 2022. The one area where it doesn't is interceptions, and I think a lot of that came down to the same thing, which was him pressing to try and find open receivers or squeeze balls into tighter windows or throw passes that he probably wouldn't have thrown in 2022 because he knew I've got to do a little something extra because we don't have somebody here to bail us out. I've got to be the guy that bails us out. Now, I think, you know, some of that obviously does come back on Beck. I mean, you'd be foolish to say he had as good a year last year as he did in 2022, but I think the idea that he was this massive disappointment or that you saw the real Carson Beck last year is really foolish. And again, you know, we talked about the Nussmeier to Jaden Daniels comparisons, like put him in the offense that Cam Ward just went from a non-factor in the draft to the number one overall pick and put him instead of throwing against SEC defenses against ACC defenses. I'd be pretty surprised, assuming he's healthy, if Carson Beck doesn't put up some really big numbers in Miami this year.
And the assumption is he is healthy. That a courtesy of Mario Cristobal talking to a number of reporters. And later on in the podcast, I asked David Hale about the health of Carson Beck. And he said he talked personally to Mario Cristobal, said he was good to go. That was David Hale, portion of that interview there with David Hale. Check the full thing out in the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. So we'll see. You know, that point spread sitting there at 2.5. And it was interesting to know, I was talking to Matt Grill from DraftKings Sportsbook, who is in charge of their college football risk. And he felt like at plus 370 to win the ACC, he thought it was a decent bet there for Miami. Miami and Clemson don't play in the regular season. And I get it. Look, I am as critical as you are on Mario Cristobal, and trusting him to do anything positively is a concern. But it does feel like, and I've mentioned it a number of times here, and you look at the facts, that we are probably overlooking Carson Beck, who was the betting favorite to be the number one overall pick a year ago. Those odds were wrong. But has he dropped this far? We'll find out week one, won't we? Notre Dame, Miami, two awesome offensive lines in that one. Patrick Everson, he's going to join us here in studio. Pacers Thunder. What do odds makers think about this upcoming NBA Finals? We'll discuss that with Patrick in studio next.